and he sees four creatures come out of the storm. And it is like nothing else I have ever seen in any movie or anything that anybody's ever created. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Henry.
I'm Jen.
And I'm talking about Ezekiel chapter 1. We have the advantage of peering into what he saw as God has revealed that to us in his word. We're going to study that in about 3 minutes time. So get ready. It's going to be a very interesting one. Corey?
Today, I am taking a look at the context of the book of Ezekiel and the man Ezekiel himself. Ryan?
Today and tomorrow, I'm going to be spending some time in Ezekiel chapter 4 trying to figure out what Ezekiel's 430 days represent.
There's a lot of significant elements in Ezekiel. And they're really interesting. The Millennial Temple is one of them at the end. It's just, I am excited about this book. Janice, go ahead.
God sees and knows.
Ezekiel 1:1-12. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kebar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. And brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 through 12.
You know, Ezekiel is a great prophet. He is amazing. He's a priest, and he is deported out of Jerusalem. And he's living in the river or near the river Kebar. Today, we focus on Ezekiel 1 to 4. That's our reading assignment, but we're going to specifically highlight Ezekiel 1, 1 to 12. Now, Ezekiel's name means God will harden or God will strengthen. Ezekiel was a priest during the time of Zechariah and Jeremiah, when Judah was to be exiled to Babylon. Now, it seems that Ezekiel and the exiles lived near the river Kebar, or a canal off the river Euphrates. Now, it was from here that Ezekiel began his ministry, when his eyes were opened and he saw visions of God and felt the hand of God take hold of him. From our best calculations, we think that Ezekiel was about 30 years old in the year 593 BC. His ministry seems to have lasted 22 years until about 571 BC. Many people avoid this book of the Bible because it seems too hard to understand. But as we take the time to read and explore, we learn much about the character of God and his plans for the people of Israel. For instance, Ezekiel had a wife who died, and the Lord would not let him grieve properly. Instead, God used this in his life to illustrate the demise of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. As we begin to study, let's commit ourselves to exploring God's prophet Ezekiel in a time when he was emerging as a unique voice for God in the midst of ancient Babylon. That would be the people in the river or near the river Euphrates. It's a place, a canal called the Kibar. So, as we focus on this, we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 1. I find this absolutely fascinating. And you can take your Bible guide. If you don't have a Bible guide, why not? You can write for yours or call for it, and we'll send it to you. Or you can actually go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com, click on it. It will take you to a donate page. Thank you for your donations. And you can download it exactly how we've printed it, have a digital copy for you. But let's pray and ask God to show us his way in this word. Father, we pray today as we open the book of Ezekiel. Help us to understand it. Help us to learn it. We've read before. But Lord, we need to read the words of your Holy Spirit. We need to understand what you've said to us, because these words are very important and they're very good. And they teach us your ways and show us your paths. So help us, Lord, to apply this word to our heart and our life today in Jesus' name. And we said together, amen and amen. 12 verses. And here's what the first verse says. Now it came to pass. It came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened. And I saw visions of God. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And on the fifth day of the month, which was in the 50th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, or the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, by the river Kibar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. This is amazing. You see, God has his prophets in unique places for specific reasons. The prophets were people who knew the power of God. Most people think of prophets as people who understand what God said, but the prophets of God knew the power of God. Ezekiel was somebody who understood the power of God because he'd be moved by it. The Holy Spirit was all-powerful in he learned that. Very interesting. And we're only in the first few verses. Look at verse 4. And I looked, and take note, or behold, a whirlwind, a storm was coming out of the north, a storm, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. And brightness was all around, and it was radiating out of its midst like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also, from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of the calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. And the hands of a man were under their wings and on the four sides. And each of the four had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. And the creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. This is shocking and amazing. Ezekiel saw a great storm and four living beasts or creatures where heaven opened were there. You see, God shows us great power from heaven. God shows us great power from heaven. We see people live there, things live there with amazing intelligence and all of this kind of stuff. This is absolutely stunning. Well, we got to get on because this is great. It says here, and as for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had faces like a lion on the right side. Each of the four faces, the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward. Two wings each of each touched one another. And two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward when they went wherever the Spirit wanted them to go. And they did not turn when they went, not subject to the laws of gravity, I'll tell you. The living beings that Ezekiel saw had four faces of creatures here on earth. You see, you have to understand what we see on earth is a deep shadow of what we will experience in heaven. How many times have I heard people say to me, people have had experiences where they've seen visions and they've seen things from heaven, and they said, yeah, but it was real. It was, the color was just amazing. And that's because you're looking at it in your spirit. Your eyes simply decipher light bouncing off of things. Light, it's a physical property. When you look and see in your spirit, that's a different deal altogether. There's no limitations. You understand that. So, beloved, this is what we need to remember. Heaven is real. Ezekiel saw, he's with the exiles at the river Kibar. He's in the shadow of ancient Babylon. He sees heaven open up. What a book this is going to be. What a journey we are going to have through the book of Ezekiel. Discovering the Bible, the 66 books written by the 40 authors.
I'm going to be focusing in on 1 Samuel 28 and the elements of ancient occult.
Why God ultimately rejected Saul as king.
This is very interesting.
It's critical for us to understand exactly what God has told us in this book.
We need to know the Word of God. We need to put it into our hearts, and we need to live it out.
Stay connected with us beyond the program. Follow Bible Discovery TV on Instagram and Facebook for daily encouragement.
So today we are beginning the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, and it is a really interesting one because it's a prophetic book. And Ezekiel was also an exile, and he was a priest separated from the temple in Jerusalem, which gets destroyed during his lifetime. So all of these elements taken together make for a really interesting read. So let's take a look at the book as a whole and some of the cultural context of Ezekiel.
The prophet Ezekiel has left us with 48 chapters of his authored prophecies in the book of Ezekiel. This biblical book contains visions, prophetic actions, divine intervention, and direct, specific, dated prophecies. It seems that for Ezekiel, it was important that future generations would be able to look back at his prophecies, know when he gave them, and therefore know by their fulfillment that God's word was true. Amazingly, thanks to excavated Babylonian records, very precise dates for these dated messages and even events in Ezekiel's life are known. For example, we're able to know from the scriptures that Ezekiel was a part of the wave of exiles that traveled to Babylon shortly after the reign of Jehoiakim, who had rebelled as a vassal king against Babylon. When Jehoiakim died, his 18-year-old son Jehoiachin was left with the aftermath of an invading Babylonian army. He surrendered and went into exile along with a large number of Judeans. In Jehoiachin's stead, Babylon appointed Zedekiah as the next and, turns out, final king of Judah. This wave of Babylonian exile occurred in 597 BC, a full 10 years before the fall of Jerusalem. Ezekiel was called as a prophet 4 years after going into exile in 593 BC. More specifically, it was likely July 13th, 593 BC. And then a large chunk of Ezekiel's prophecies from chapters 1 to 24 deal with the impending doom of Jerusalem, the temple, and Judah as a whole. We're told that beyond Ezekiel being called as a prophet of God, he was also a priest from the line of Zadok, which goes a long way in explaining why he was one of the more upper-class Judeans that was exiled first. It also seems very appropriate that God would use a priest to both announce the decommissioning of the temple in Jerusalem and foretell of its future recommissioning. Today, there are many different interpretations of Ezekiel's later prophecies. For our reference, the first 24 chapters deal with the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem, typified in the destruction of the temple. Then chapters 25 to 32 deal with judgments against various foreign nations. And then the remaining chapters, 33 to 48, all deal with the future hope of Jerusalem, its restoration as God's city and temple bearer. The various interpretations of Ezekiel's visions generally concern his apocalyptic passages and passages that deal with a restored Jerusalem and Israel. However, it's important to first take away the general message. Though God judges, there will also be a restoration. God's ultimately victorious over evil. Righteousness will prevail, and he will dwell with his people.
All right, so on tomorrow's program, we're going to take a look at something that God tells Ezekiel to do in chapter 5 that seems to contradict his own law. So hopefully you can join us tomorrow for that.
Yeah, you know, Ezekiel is just an amazing, amazing book, because people who are into the UFOs or UAPs, they always point to these places in Scripture, but it is so great because God, this is revealing of God's heaven, and it is amazing. I'm just totally blown away by it. All right, go ahead, Ryan.
All right, well, continuing to look into Ezekiel, the mysteries of Ezekiel. Today and tomorrow, we're going to spend some time in Ezekiel chapter 4 as we try to figure out just what exactly Ezekiel's 430 days were and where they fit into history. Now, here's what we know. Each day represented a year, and that 390 years were given to Israel and 40 years were given to Judah. What we don't know is where these 400 years fit into history. Of course, it's also possible that these years are sometime in the future as well. This isn't an easy question to answer, and there's been a lot of scholars with different theories, and so we're going to take a look at some of those today.
Among all the biblical prophets, Ezekiel is best remembered for prophesying through public performances and street theater. In one such presentation, God directed the prophet to first lay on his left side for 390 days, and then on his right for 40 more. While we know each day represented a year of judgment, 390 for the house of Israel and 40 for the house of Judah, nobody really knows what time period these 430 years correspond to, because we are not told, nor do they seem to fit anywhere in history. Adding to the mystery is the Hebrew word avon used in this particular passage, which can be translated either as punishment or iniquity, depending on context. In other words, avon can refer to either an offense or its penalty. So was God placing on Ezekiel the nation's offense or the penalty of that offense? That is to say, are these 430 years an accounting of the nation's past sin, or do they represent years of their coming judgment? Unfortunately, determining which sense of the word is being used here isn't so clear-cut. That's because while Ezekiel's enactment seems to be pointing to punishment based upon context, this Hebrew word avon is also combined with the word bear, which usually carries the idea of iniquity. Based on these uncertainties, scholars have proposed various theories. Those who believe these 430 years are a reckoning of Israel's past sin have offered various suggestions. One is that the 390 years represent the period from the time of Solomon's unfaithfulness to the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, and that the 40 years represents the long reign of the exceedingly wicked Judean king Manasseh before his repentance. Others point out that the 40 years is also the length of a Jewish generation. Another idea is that these 430 years are a symbolic reference to the length of Israel's sojourn in Egypt. However, those who believe these 430 years represented Israel's future punishment also proposed various solutions. According to one idea, the punishment of exile and Gentile rule was inflicted upon the Hebrew nation over a 430-year period, as extending from 597 to approximately 167 BC. This was the time Jewish rule returned to Judah through the Maccabean Revolt. Another theory posits that 70 years of this punishment were fulfilled during the Babylonian exile, leaving a remainder of 360 years. Interestingly, if we multiply these remaining years by 7, based upon God's promise in Leviticus 26 that he would punish his people 7 times over if they did not obey him, we get a total figure of 2,520 years, which by Jewish reckoning equals 907,200 days. While the exact day of Israel's release from exile is not known, if they were set free on July 23rd of 587 BC, then the 2,520 years would bring us to May 14th, 1948, the very day that Israel was reestablished as a nation. While no one can know for sure exactly where these 430 years belong in history, to God, the master mathematician and the very creator of time, it is certainly no mystery.
So that last theory that brings the end of the 430 years to May 14th, 1948, it's really interesting and there's more to it. I had to end it right there for the sake of time, but tomorrow we're going to go into depth on that particular idea. But keep in mind that nobody really knows where these 430 years belong. But it shouldn't really bother us because God knows, right? And he said in Jeremiah 23:20, in the latter days, you will understand it perfectly.
I get excited about this. I got to calm down. But, what happened in 1948, May the 14th?
It was the foundation of Israel.
The modern state of Israel.
The modern state of Israel.
I'm just saying. And we see Israel now a superpower in the Middle East. So
we're going to see how history unfolds. That's the thing. Like we are just going to watch and see what God does. And we have to take with us a measure of humility. Calm us down.
As I said,
I'm trying to calm down.
Calm us down.
I'm just reading this and I'm excited.
As I said, these are all just theories because we don't know.
Exactly.
And that's the point. We can't be dogmatic on these.
But we know that what's interesting is that we know that there is a truth. There is an objective truth that God is playing it out and we're watching.
As I said, to start the segment, it's a mystery of Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. It is an ongoing mystery.
It is. And it is.
And it's a hope. It's something that we look forward to.
The return of
the
Christ.
The return.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Christ.
Sorry.
Yes.
The return of Christ. I'm just excited.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Well, God sees and knows is what my segment is called today. And I was looking at Ezekiel 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month. Now that's very specific. Right there. Very specific timing. As I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. So right off the top, we have very specific time and very specific place where God put his hand and his call on Ezekiel. And we too, the Lord Jesus can use us anywhere that we are located. And I can back that up with scripture. If you go into Acts 17 and you have Paul who's speaking to the philosophers at Athens, do you remember that? That is in Acts 26. And he's walking down the road and he's seeing all these altars to their
gods,
basically, yes, those that they want to worship, those that they worship. And he's walking by them and he sees an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. So Paul begins to explain this and I want you to listen to it because I think it's important. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, Paul says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. What? Yes, He says, God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, quote, for we are also his offspring, end of quote. Therefore, Paul says, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. And he goes on and on, but he talks about these pre-appointed times and places that God destines us to live and to be. Just as Ezekiel is very much, we have a 30th year in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, and a location where he was. God sees and knows everything. And so wherever you are right now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then be the light, be the salt, be the encourager, be the one to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ where you are. And if necessary, as we have heard it said many times before, use words. Your life, how you act and who you worship will be a display and a demonstration to those around you. And so just be encouraged today. God knows and God sees and God has you where you are for a reason. Reach out to him. Have a relationship with him. Stay in his word. Stay in prayer. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. I want to invite you at 3:30 on Wednesdays, 3:30 on Wednesdays. Join us on our website, BibleDiscoveryTV.com, on our Facebook and on our YouTube and on Rumble, Bible Discovery TV, where we will be broadcasting live things above, a midweek service where we teach the Bible and pray. Father, I pray today, help me and help my mind to be on things above, not on things of this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.